This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
It's DCR.
I would start shaking things that they don't want to see me shake on national television.
Yes, he would, Dave.
I'll tell you what, if I knew it was the day that we were doing that segment, I would wear loose-fitting pants.
Just wear some Dukes.
No, I wouldn't even wear Dukes because you can't see anything shaking in that. I would wear tearaway pants with no underwear on underneath. I would be flapping all around. You would see it all.
Oh, God.
Poor Zubin would be terrified.
This is DCR.
Well, the Yankees won last night.
Yeah, I don't know how you... That's a hell of a turn, Dave.
Right?
Hell of a turn.
That was good.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Because you never know where it's going to go. It's DCR with you, 6 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Well, Rick, your ex-quarterback addressed the media for the first time yesterday about his new team. How do you feel about him? Like, are you one of these, oh, I hope it's a great situation for Sam and we see ultimate success? Or are you like, you know what, you're gone, whatever happens, happens?
No, I hope he has success. Too much success. I feel bad for what happened with Sam. I do. I mean, the kid, you know, third overall pick. We all had high expectations. And then for them to handle him the way that they handled him, he never had a fair shake.
It was all Chris Johnson's doing, though. I mean, we said it at the time. I don't know why the hell you would hire Adam Gase, a coach that was fired in the same cycle that you hired him. Clearly hadn't shown that he's able to develop young quarterbacks. We saw what happened with Ryan Tannehill's career when he got the hell away from Adam Gase. So I don't know why the Jets as an organization thought that this was the guy for Sam going into his second year that was going to take him to the next level. Like, that was the beginning. That was the beginning of it for me. Like, it was terrible enough that you drafted a quarterback with a top five pick, knowing that your head coach was on the hot seat going into his rookie year. But to compound it by hiring Adam Gase, that's when you said that, you know, you're probably talking about irreparable damage being done in terms of Sam's career as the Jets quarterback.
And then on top of that, to have no offensive line, very little at the skill position, right? I mean, they really did this guy a tremendous disservice. But there has to be some responsibility and accountability from Sam Darnold.
No, there is. Listen, it's not all on the Jets. I mean, one of the most important things, he hasn't been able to stay healthy, which as a starting quarterback is important. I mean, availability is important. And the turnovers and some of the decision-making. But again, and I stand by this, there are only a handful of players, I don't care what the position is, that are so talented, are so generational, that it doesn't matter where you stick them, they'll have success.
They can overcome bad coaching. They can overcome dysfunction in their organization. Yeah, those guys are few and far in between.
And Sam was not one of those guys. Sam needed to be in a situation where there was consistency, there was great coaching, there was talent around him, and he had none of that.
What do you think the upside? Like, how good do you think Sam Darnold can be? If things go perfectly well for him in Carolina, we will sit here 3 years from now and say Sam Darnold is the, what, a top 10 quarterback in this league? 10 to 15?
I don't think we know yet. I don't think we can answer that question yet because you don't know if he can stay healthy.
I think Dave is asking that question based on the talent, though, Rico. Like, from a talent
I don't care how I don't care how talented he is. Listen, he could be the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. If he can only stand, if he is only on the field for 12 games a season, I mean, that's...
But even the 12 games, for argument's sake, he's healthy 12 games a season. You're getting 12 games out of him. How good can he be in those 12 games per year?
Well, I can't call you a top 10 quarterback if you're only healthy for 12 games.
Dave, I think he's somewhere in that 10 to 15 range.
So that's as good as it could get.
Yeah, I think that's where it could be. That's what I'm comfortable saying. I mean, you got to put everything in its proper context. You're talking about a guy that had the worst passer rating of qualified quarterbacks last year. He was 36 of 36, and since 2018, he's 39th out of 39th in terms of passer rating. So, I mean, it's just there's not a whole lot to go on other than the talent that we've seen flashes of. But the only problem is, Dave, it's been too inconsistent. So the hope is that with putting him in a situation, in an environment that has more structure around it, you're going to be able to bring the best out of him more often.
Sure.
I mean, that's what Matt Rhule is banking on. That's why they gave the Jets and Joe Douglas all of those draft picks.
Let's take a listen. Here is Sam Darnold. First time we've heard him on another team and discussing the trade to Carolina.
I think for me, it's anytime you go somewhere and you set lofty goals and those goals aren't met, that's always tough.
for me. When I heard the news that they wanted to trade me, it was tough. Anytime you're not wanted somewhere, that's always, you know, a tough pill to swallow. But then it was the opposite feeling. You know, you go from being unwanted and then all of a sudden the people in Carolina, you know, wanted me and obviously traded for me. And you go from being unwanted to wanted. And, you know, when the trade went down, things didn't work out the way that I wanted in New York, but I was just so excited for a, you know, a fresh start and new opportunity. So it was bittersweet, but like I keep saying, I mean, meeting the people around here and getting to know everyone and, you know, what the agenda is around here, it's, I'm just very thrilled and excited to get going.
I'll tell you what, he's only 23, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 23.
He's got a good head on his shoulders. Like, for what he's had to deal with by the time he's 23 years old, being, I mean, I don't know if you want to say run out of New York, but it certainly didn't end well in New York. And to wind up on a new team and be 23 and to handle yourself with such poise, I give him a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, though, too, is that had the Jets not had the second overall pick, if you win more than two games, this isn't even a conversation. Like, the reason why they move off the third overall pick going into year four is because they had the second overall pick.
That's right.
If they had pick 8, if they had pick 10, they're not even talking about drafting a quarterback.
Yeah,
now.
But Rick, they were almost winless.
I wish they were winless.
Of course you do. But
made
I mean,
it a lot easier decision.
You could take the flip side as well. You say if they would have won more games, if they would have lost, I mean, if they would have gone winless, you wouldn't even be talking about this. It would be Trevor Lawrence with no discussion.
No, but you're still talking about replacing Sam Darnold, is my point.
Yes.
Like, I mean, people always, like, the pro Sam Darnold people, and I get it. The Jets did him no favors. Always point to, well, you know, Eli struggled in his first, you know, for his first couple of years. This quarterback struggled in his first. Yeah, well, the difference is even though that quarterback struggled, his team was good enough where they were actually winning games.
I think Eli was never division in his second year.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
so
they went to the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no conversation to be had. Like, we're in the playoffs. We don't have the choice. We don't have a second overall pick to readdress the quarterback position. We don't have
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely not. That's right. If you're 4-12, you're picking 6, and this is probably not a discussion. Sam's your quarterback, and you're taking Penei Sewell or whoever it happens to be. More from Darnold, reflecting on his 3 years with the Jets.
You know, obviously getting drafted as high as I did, my expectations were to go in there, play 20 years and win Super Bowls. And, you know, that was the dream going in there. But obviously it didn't work out. And so, but I'm thankful and just thankful for the opportunity that, you know, that organization gave me for the 3 years that I was with them. But now, you know, coming in as a Carolina Panther, I'm very excited for this opportunity and just to come in, you know, with a fresh start and just excited to get going.
I'm interested to see. This, to me, is one of the most interesting storylines of the season of what Darnold is going to look like in another uniform and how he's going to play with a legitimate coaching staff.
Well, Dave, because we get to see the real-life experiment play out, right? Everybody was saying, well, it's the organization's fault. It's not Sam's fault that he didn't have success in New York. Now he has an opportunity to go to a team that was competitive. They were on the losing end of 8 one-score games last year, so it's not like this team doesn't go out there and have a chance every single Sunday. And they've got a solid coach. They've got the infrastructure put in place. You got an owner that's willing to spend whatever it takes to put the right supporting cast around the kid. So now it's just a matter of him going out and doing it. And if he does it, then everybody will, you know, will say, okay, we're confirming the suspicions that it was on the Jets. But if he doesn't, Dave, the only person that he has to blame is himself, because he's going to have a 2-year trial. Carolina said that they're picking up his 5th-year option. So he's going to have a fair shake at being able to prove that he's a legitimate starting quarterback. We'll see what happens.
Until Carolina drafts a quarterback with the 8th pick.
Would that shock you?
I don't think that's going to happen.
If all of a sudden Justin Fields is sitting there at 8, you don't consider that?
And Rico, I don't think that's going to happen.
Nah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if that was the case and Justin Fields was sitting there at 8.
Well, that's a run, don't walk to turn in the car, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Justin Fields is going to fall to 8.
You imagine if Mac Jones went 3 and Justin Fields dropped to 8?
No, Dave. I don't know what world we'd be living in.
That would
everything
be
upside
stuff.
Down.
More Sam Darnold advice on the next Jets quarterback. Here he is.
What advice would you give that player going to this team, and what kind of a team do you believe that next quarterback is coming into with the Jets?
Have fun and don't pay attention to the media. No, I'm joking, guys.
No, he's not. He's not joking.
He's being truthful.
No, he's being truthful. And he said, when he says, too, like, I'm just thankful for the opportunity, he's full of crap, too. The Jets almost, I mean, we'll see what happens in Carolina. But, I mean, this is going to end up being it for him. as far as being a starting quarterback.
Yeah, but how many? I mean, he's getting a second chance. Most people don't get second chances like
that.
The
only reason he's getting a second chance is because everyone thinks that Adam Gase is bad of a coach.
That's correct.
I mean, Carolina
swung and missed on all the other targets that they had at quarterback.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, they single-handedly try to ruin his career. You don't think, I mean, he works out every offseason with Josh Allen. You don't think he's envious of Josh Allen? You don't think he's just as talented as Josh Allen? Were all these guys in good spots? I remember Jordan Palmer saying, who trains both of those guys, that, I forget what show he was on, but he insinuated that if you had taken Sam and put him in Buffalo instead of Josh Allen, he'd be having that kind of success. Because talent-wise, he's that good.
Yeah, we'll never know. Let's go to Ira. Good morning, Ira in Staten Island. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Hey, fellas. How are you? You know, we'll never know. And you know what? Of course, Sam, you know, probably didn't speak complete truth yesterday. But you know what? He was a stand-up guy. He's kept quiet this whole time. And you know what? He said the right things about Douglas and the organization. And I wish him well, except for when we play him. But at the end of the day, and I think, you know, everybody knows Dave and I are on the same page. I think he's at best a middle-of-the-road quarterback. I think he'll win games for Carolina. And probably at the end of the 2 years, he said, okay, well, we got a quarterback. He's given us 25 touchdowns. He's given us 15 interceptions. And the best we could get to with this guy is 8-9-7. So we have to look for a quarterback. And I think that's how the story will be told. Because at the end of the day, that's what I think he is, a middle-of-the-road quarterback.
He feels like the kind of quarterback that's gonna leave the coaching staff wanting more.
Mm.
Like if they had the ability to upgrade, they would do it. Like Jimmy Garoppolo with San Francisco, I mean, he got you to a Super Bowl
play away, right?
Yeah, I mean, but when he plays, they win. I mean, look at his record when he plays. He wins a whole hell of a lot more than he loses. But the guy, I mean, he can't make every throw, and he doesn't stay healthy. So you're constantly looking. Well, can we upgrade? Can we upgrade? And I think, I mean, with some of the stuff that's gone on with Sam over the last 3 years, health being a big part of that, and decision-making, that's the wild card for me. Is talent-wise, I think he's super talented. You don't get drafted, you know, third overall unless you're really talented. The X factor is what's going on in his head. Like, where is his confidence at? Because that doesn't just, I don't care how good the coach, like, that doesn't just all of a sudden just naturally just come
and
back.
And has he been broken? I mean, have the Jets and being here for 3 years with this organization broken the guy?
How much damage have they done? Because usually situations like this, the quarterback, and don't forget too, like, Ryan Tannehill was in the league a whole lot longer than Sam was before he went to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he actually had some
five seasons, yeah.
And he had some success in Miami. Mm-hmm. Like, Sam hasn't really had much success at all yet with the Jets, but usually quarterbacks that are that young that go to different spots, like, you know, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, like quarterbacks that it didn't work out on the team that they were drafted by, usually have a year where they can kind of reset.
Mm-hmm.
Like learn the system, take a year off, watch from a veteran quarterback, kind of recalibrate. He's going right from the Jets to he's going to be starting for Carolina.
Yep, you're ripping the Band-Aid right off. Absolutely.
And there won't be nearly as much pressure because it's Carolina. But, I mean, there is still...
There's pressure, though.
Of course there's pressure, because this is going to be it for him. Like, this goes... If this doesn't work out...
But shouldn't it be? I mean, if he goes there and he's not good, shouldn't this be it for him?
Yeah, probably, yeah. But, I mean, you would rather not have it, obviously, like, going into year four where it's make or break. You know what I mean? Like, it's early.
Well, yeah, I think he'll have a couple of years down there in Carolina. He'll have a couple of years just based on what they're going to pay him, how they're going to commit to him with the option year. So, we'll see what happens. Let's see what happens with Sam.
But that owner is super aggressive, though, Canty. You know that.
Yeah. If there's something he wants, he'll go get it.
Yeah, but like there might not be the opportunity to go get some guys. You know, quarterbacks just don't grow on trees.
No, I know. But if all of a sudden Deshaun Watson becomes available, like if this whole thing gets figured out, or even if it's after next season, it gets figured out. They were apparently all in on trying to get Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They won't be the only ones.
No, because that would seem like, Carolina, that seems like a natural fit. Deshaun Watson in Carolina.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, he's from right down the road. Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to have a special guest in 4 minutes from right now. Do you know who it is, Rick? You have any idea?
Special guest in 4 minutes. No idea.
Is this truthful or is this one of your lies that you like to pull?
No, it's truthful. How would I know who we're having at 6?
Well, I thought maybe RJ told you.
6:20. He didn't tell me anything.
Wow. Sounds like you guys have an issue behind the scenes.
Mm-mm.
No, he's asking me about coaches that I've had like in 1988, 89. I don't have any idea.
Well, all right. I think you'd be very pleased with who we bring on in 4 minutes from right now. Let's hear a little bit more from Sam.
Greeny. It's Greeny.
You think it's Greeny? Would you put money on that?
No, I wouldn't. I just got the buzzer. No, it's not Greeny.
Want to take another stab?
Zubin. I don't know who else is up at 6:20.
Hasn't Zubin's show started?
Yes, their show is on right now. I'm looking.
Yeah, but he could run into the closet with
chop it up.
He could run into the closet with Canty for a second.
Jump that in sounds quick. Really uncomfortable.
The hell does that mean?
Yeah. Well, look at where Canty's at right now on the Zoom. He's in like a closet with a microphone.
I understand, but it had a
you need
a
Jesus.
Terrible innuendo that you had there.
Yes.
No, we didn't. I didn't. What,
Chris?
They're doing a radio show in the closet.
It didn't feel right, Dave. I'm with you on that one. It didn't feel right.
Chris
when
and I are eye to eye today. You're very off base today, Rick.
I didn't mean it when I said it like that. There was no innuendo.
Dave, maybe it's the baby poop. Maybe the fumes.
Maybe it
were
is. Your nostrils are still a mess from the baby poop all over you yesterday?
It had me confused, man. I don't know if it was that, if I farted. I had no idea what was going on.
All right, so it's not Zubin, it's not Greeny. We'll let you know who it is in 3 minutes. Let's hear a little bit more from Sam Darnold on his ability to win at the next level in the NFL.
I think in New York you were 13-25 as a starter. Yeah, tell the people here why you think that you can win here. And secondly, do you feel like you were given a fair shake in New York?
Yeah, I think, I've proven to be able to, obviously there's more losses than wins, but I've been proven to, win football games here. Yeah, I think all things considered in New York, I think, just timing wise, things didn't really work out towards the end. But, like I keep saying, I'm just excited to be here.
God, I wish he could be honest. Don't you wish? I think I was given a fair chance in New York.
Well, you saw him on.
Well, Dave, the fact that he didn't address that part of the question lets you know how he feels about that. Like, he said it without saying it. Like, Sam Darnold bashing the Jets does him no good. Like, he's trying to move his career forward. Like, it doesn't make sense to lament the missed opportunity that was the 3 years that he had to start his career with the Jets.
I give him a lot of credit. Because you know what happens if he destroys the Jets? We're sitting here. Why would he do that? He has a fresh start somewhere else. Why would he say anything negative about the Jets?
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
So, no, he takes the high road. Good for him. And lastly, Sam Darnold on Jets fans.
Jets fans are one of a kind. But I'll be forever grateful for those fans because, they taught me so much about myself. Very thankful for the people around the organization and the people around Florham Park, Morristown area, and obviously New York City.
He's very measured in what he says, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know if that was nice. New York fans are one of a kind.
Well, they are. It's true.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if he meant that in a positive way.
Maybe not. But I hear New York fans are one of a kind, and I like that. I'm happy to wear that.
It had a negative twinge to it.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so it's not Zubin. No. It's not Greeny. No. You'll be shocked that this person is up and ready to talk to us at this hour.
Who? What sport?
Well, he didn't really play a sport, but I guess maybe he's best known for hockey?
It's Stay hockey, man.
We got Don LaGreca at 6:23.
That's right. He hasn't gone to bed. He's on a bender. Mr. Meth himself, that is Don LaGreca. Good morning, Donnie. How are you?
At 6:23 in the morning, it's just sniff them dead. Like, that's all I got.
You just love talking.
I can't scream it because it's early.
Dead.
So it'll just, so that rant would have just been sniff them. Sniff them dead.
You wouldn't have gotten any of the rap song out of it. Huh?
Yeah. I'm taking mom for her second vaccination this morning.
Nice.
And she lives an hour away. So I got to get up real early. And I was like, let me call RJ. I haven't talked to RJ. Guy's a part of my life every day, and now he's been ripped from me. So let me call him. And then it's like, yeah, you want to go out with the boys? I'm like, of course. I don't talk to you guys either. So I figured I'd say hello.
Well, hello. And I hope to God that my mother is not listening to this right now. Because if my mom hears that you are waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning, driving an hour away, and taking your mom for the vaccine, I will never hear the end of it. So good on you. And I hope my mom is sleeping. Please, God, let her be sleeping.
When I left, she was still asleep, Dave.
You jerk.
Very, very important to get vaccinated. And got to do it. This is what we do. They take care of us, and then at the end, we take care of them.
Donnie, let me ask you a question, because I get yelled at every time. Please. I bring it up. I actually played in the NHL.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Played in the Olympics and other things like that have to do with hockey. You're the voice of the Rangers. Like, there's no bigger hockey guy at the station than you.
Are you offended at all? By the way, before he answers this question, he will not be the least bit bothered. But go ahead, continue.
Of course he will. Nope. Are you at all offended? And I know you don't need to have more work, but this isn't work. This would be like a treat to you to have a hockey show. Are you offended at all they didn't ask you to do a hockey show on Saturday?
No.
See?
No, not at all. Dave's a hockey guy, and they want him to do it.
He's not a hockey guy. Stop yourself.
Everybody's asked me that. It's like, aren't you offended that, you know what, everything hockey's got to be me?
Well, there's nothing hockey. What do you mean everything hockey? There is nothing hockey. It's the only thing hockey. We're not allowed to talk about hockey. This is the only way to vent off as a hockey show.
Yeah, but why does hockey have to be like, well, Don's got to talk about it? Like, we don't want to get anybody else to talk about it. Get Don
to talk
about it.
What do you want the most qualified person doing the show?
Let everybody talk about it. Let Dave talk about it. I love being a guest on Dave's show.
See?
Everybody wants to start trouble.
Thank you, Don.
I love that Dave does it.
You wouldn't. Here's the thing. Here's the funny thing.
God.
Is that if you did if it was Don LaGreca's hockey show, you wouldn't even have Dave as a guest on the hockey show.
How do you know that?
Because there's no chance. I'm going to bring on Dave Rothenberg as a hockey guest. For what reason? You're not even a hockey fan.
I have a deep knowledge of hockey.
Stop yourself.
The fact that this eats
I don't
you up.
Think I'd have you on, Dave. I mean, I love you. If you wanted to call in or something.
Thank you.
To sit to vent about the Rangers or whatever. But, you know, listen, he doesn't have me on because Don likes hockey. He has me on because, you know, every Ranger game, I'm either doing the play-by-play or pre and post. So
the fact that
you want me on as a guest because of my expertise, not because let's... You sound so management there. Well, let's get him on because he's a fan. No, that's not why you get people on. You get people on because they think they know what they're talking about.
Don, I apologize.
So,
I didn't realize
he
was going to ambush you like this. I truly apologize. Let me ask you about Sam Darnold.
Not the only one. That's like it's weird. Like almost if it wasn't for the pandemic, if I was at the studio, I almost feel like somebody would have sat me down, like patted me on the back and say, Don, we're going with Dave. I hope you're okay with that, but we're going with Dave for whatever they're calling the show now. I know that's been a bit of a thing, but you know, no, it's cool. I thought I was like happy for him.
See? It's a man that cares about my general well-being, unlike you, who's just jealous. Miserable.
I'm not jealous. It's just, I mean, the fact that he wouldn't have you on as a guest because you're not qualified to talk hockey means that you shouldn't have your own hockey show, doesn't
it? Very qualified. Very
this
qualified.
This is why there's a relationship between Rick and Dave. That was such a Rick and Kay. That's such a Kay move, Rick. That was such a stir the pot, try to create something that's not there. That's so Kay of you.
I'll take that as a humongous compliment. Thank you.
Oh, God. Can we please? Can I ask you about Sam Darnold? Can I please?
Confusing.
It's amazing.
Ask him, would you please?
No, I don't want to interrupt this anger management session we're dealing with right now. Don, do you think that Sam Darnold has success in Carolina?
Yes, I do. I think he's a good quarterback. I do. I think there's skills there. I think that here's what everybody misses with Sam, okay? He was drafted third and not first overall because the feeling was that Baker Mayfield was more NFL ready. And that Sam was going to need a little nurturing because he's so young. I mean, he's young now. He's played 3 years in the league. He's still, not even 24 years old. So he needed development. He went to the worst place in the world to be developed as a quarterback. I mean, the worst. You could get better development at another sport than going to the Jets. So you can't tell me they're not majorly responsible for the situation that he's in right now. Now, listen, Sam made poor decisions. Sam has to take some responsibility, and he does. But for a guy that needed development, his offensive coordinator, his first year is out of the league. His head coach was a defensive guy. And then one of the worst coaches in the history of the sport the next 2 years with no talent, with no offensive line. How are you possibly supposed to overcome that? How? So if, like, Ira from Staten Island said, I think he's just an average quarterback, what else could you possibly be? He needed to be developed, nurtured, and he wasn't. Two different quarterbacks, two different head coaches, two different offensive systems, two different general managers. That's not exactly the way you want to start. Josh Allen, they added. They go out and get Diggs for his third year so he can blossom. Baker Mayfield was given Odell Beckham Jr. What was he given? Chris Hogan? He's now a professional lacrosse player.
Maybe he could do a hockey show.
Oh, God. Don, I apologize. Listen. we We appreciate you. And I know Rick is going to take this in some kind of insidious way that's not meant to be. Please tell your mom that I say hi and send my love. She and I have a very tight bond.
And she really loves you, which is very nice. I'm going to tell her that you said hello. And I'm glad that my phone call gave Chris Canty a break. What happened, Chris? Hello?
Hey, Dottie. I wanted to get in there and ask you a little bit about the Jets, but Dave and Rick took up all my time.
I love all three of you guys. I miss you terribly. And I hope I didn't bigfoot you, but I wanted to say hello. All I hear from, I get the occasional text from Rick, which I love. Dave, the occasional call. There's not much from Chris, but, you know, I still love him anyway.
Let's remedy that. Chris, get in touch with Donnie after the show. Don, tell your mom we say hi. Have a safe trip. We will talk to you soon. We appreciate you calling in.
Love you guys.
Bye. That,
love you too,
is,
Donnie.
It's Don LaGreca. You're amazing, by the way. You are.
Why
such
am I amazing?
A baby. Because if you don't, that's what you are. You're the biggest baby I've ever met. If you don't get your way, now everybody has to hear about it forever.
What I'm trying to explain to you is
I can't listen to it anymore.
No. What I'm trying to explain to you,
zero sympathy for you.
Okay. What I'm trying to explain to you is that in most cases, like Chris playing professional football and winning a Super Bowl affords him certain opportunities because he played professional football. Mm-hmm. Playing in the National Hockey League has afforded me zero opportunities.
You think
the one opportunity
on the show had you not played in the NHL?
Well, it was Alan inviting me to do the show. I don't know if it
didn't. Okay, but do you think Alan would have invited you to do the show if you were just, you know, Rick DiPietro works at Kitchen Cabaret?
No, I think it qualified me because I know sports and I actually played a sport. But I'm saying as far as other opportunities outside of doing the show, like perhaps a hockey show, nothing. Zero.
I don't see how I've done anything wrong here, to be honest, though.
You haven't done anything wrong. Don't feel bad for your success, Dave. Don't apologize.
You rub it right in my face.
I threw nothing in your face.
Yeah, you want to be a guest on my show, you said.
They said, you said, reach out to Rick. We'd love to have Rick on. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and do this all day. Should he go to the Hall of Fame or should he not? It's our discussion. And
stupid
it's next
question.
What happened?
It's a stupid question.
How is it a stupid question?
It's an awful question. It's terrible.
You know, I can't wait for Thursday morning. Oh, God, I can't wait. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey, everybody.
I'm gonna call you the second I wake up at 2 a.m. I'm gonna say wakey wakey eggs and bake, but you'll already be up because you're taking care of your two puppies that you decided.
No, I'll be fast asleep. I keep my ringer off.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Did you get dog insurance?
No, we had it with our other dog. It's the biggest scam going.
Yeah, sorry, we don't cover that. Until all of a sudden they blow out an ACL or something.
So, yeah, and then it's covered at like 18%.
That's better than 0%.
Not if you're paying $50 a month in dog insurance, it's not.
But now you have two. In the way that you describe how they play, something's going to, I mean, at some point, there's going to be some kind of surgery needed.
Yeah, Sherry said that he almost punctured her ear yesterday. he stares at her. Then he almost like a bull. Then he like lines it up and he charges at her. and he bit her and she started crying yesterday.
I'm not sure.
You got a wild one on your hands,
he's
Dave.
The
that Barkley is aggressive.
He's an aggressive little animal, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure you got two dogs that are conducive to your lifestyle currently.
I don't think any dogs were conducive to my lifestyle. I like to nap.
Well, that's what I mean. Like an English bulldog or something like that that's like
or one dog around. Or one dog.
Yeah, but even one dog. I mean, you're a guy that like to go on the treadmill. Like, I mean, you're talking about dogs that need to be
run,
be walked, and
that's
yeah,
right.
That's
we'll
a
get
lot.
It done. We'll get it done. Let's go to before we get to the big payoff of that tremendous tease. Let's get to Dave in Jersey City. Good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on the phone again. I just wanted to say, Rick, you know, sound like an ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, really salty about Sam Darnold. I feel you. I'm with that, but it's the organization. And one last thing. I bought three jerseys 3 years ago. Adams, Jamal Adams, Bell, and Darnold. And guess what? All of them are gone. I just wanted to say that, and have a better day, Rick.
I don't know why you said I sound salty. I said I hope the kid has success. At what point did I sound salty about Sam?
I actually have to defend you here. I don't think you sound salty at all. I think with the hockey show, you sound salty.
Very salty about the hockey show.
But not. And in fact, people are really against you on Twitter with that. Rick sounds extremely jealous. If one of my boys got a job doing something that I'm better at, I wouldn't hate him every chance I got. I'd congratulate him. I'd lift him up. Maybe question whoever hired him. How can someone be negative towards a quote, friend's success? That's Big Mars.
See, I don't think I'm mad at you. I think I'm projecting on you.
Okay, well, that's different.
I think we all understand who I'm mad at. Even though I would have said no if I was asked, I would have said no anyway.
And that's the amazing thing. If you were, Rick, would you like to do the hockey show? No.
And then they would ask me.
And then
it's a respect thing, though.
And this wouldn't even be brought up on the air.
No, but I think it's a respect thing.
I think you're a baby.
Like, hey, we're having a hockey show. Do you have any interest in doing it? And I would say, no, I'm all set. Thank you.
I think you're a baby. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, Chris, let me pose this to you. Because I don't even want to discuss it with you, Rick, to be honest. Julian Edelman, Hall of Famer or not?
No, he's not a Hall of Famer, Dave. He's a Hall of Very Good. He's Ring of Honor worthy. I mean, he's got the second most catches in postseason history behind Jerry Rice, and you know how I feel about competitive greatness, being at your best when your best is required, and Julian Edelman at the wide receiver position is right up there, but I can't put him in the Hall of Fame, Dave. I can't. Warren Sharp put this tweet out there yesterday, and he just compared Julian Edelman's career to Hines Ward's career.
It's not even comparable.
It's not even comparable. I mean, Hines Ward's got 1,000 catches, Edelman 620. Hines Ward has 12,000 yards. Julian Edelman right under 7,000. Hines Ward has got 85 touchdowns. Julian Edelman, 36. Both of them have Super Bowl MVPs. Hines Ward has been to 4 Pro Bowls. Edelman, 0. And Hines Ward can't get on the ballot to get in the Hall of Fame. So if Hines Ward can't get in the Hall of Fame with those type of credentials, Julian Edelman's not getting in the Hall of Fame.
That T should go into the Hall of Fame. Radio Hall of Fame. Marconi, maybe. Hall of Fame?
Do you have anything productive to say?
I don't think that Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer. I agree with Chris.
At
no point. Well, no, at no point. I mean, again, it's hard enough to get to the Hall of Fame as a wide receiver anyway. But you're talking about, I mean, Hall of Fame, greatest honor in, I don't care what the sport is. At any point during Julian Edelman's career, was he the best wide receiver in the sport?
No.
Postseason, he was great. He's got a Super Bowl MVP. One of the most productive seventh-round picks in NFL history. All that stuff is great, but as far as Hall of Fame, no. Ring of Honor with the Patriots, absolutely 100%.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know what's so telling to me? He's never been to a Pro Bowl.
Which is crazy, right? Because he seems like he's a really popular NFL player.
Right. But all pros, I mean, that's different. All pro, you got to be one of the top 2 receivers in the game, maybe 3. Yeah. I don't know how many they put on that thing. But never to have been to a Pro Bowl where usually they take, 5 receivers and then 2 don't go? So you got to be like a top 7 receiver in your conference and to never go to that one time?
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, I mean, this is why it's a great story if he ended up in the Hall of Fame, but I don't think.
No, he's not going to end up in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think he ends up. I mean, especially, I mean, even like those Hines Ward numbers. I mean, that's, Hines Ward had an unbelievable career.
Hines Ward, see, here's the thing. When I instantly think Julian Edelman, I don't think he was great. I think he was great in the postseason. I don't think he was. I never thought of him as a great receiver. I thought Hines Ward was a great receiver for a long time.
Hines Ward was a tough hombre, Dave.
Oh, my God.
I mean, would knock your face off. Didn't care if you were a linebacker, defensive lineman. I remember he had that crackback on Keith Rivers, Dave, and he broke his jaw. Unbelievable. Hines Ward was one of the true tough guys in the NFL, regardless of position.
It is amazing, though, what Julian Edelman turned himself into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Oh, he had a great career. Yeah, nobody takes away from, I mean, he had a great career, and he helped teams win Super Bowls, and he was a terrific receiver. But Hall of Fame is a different caliber. But you've heard a lot of the discussion. I mean, it's been on sports talk shows around the country. Is he a Hall of Famer? I wonder what they think in New England. You think they think he's a Hall of Famer in New England?
I'm sure the fans do, Dave.
Or that they're honest about it.
Their guy honored in that way. But I don't think I think they'll realize like there's a difference between Julian Edelman and Randy Moss.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. There's levels to this thing. And like I said, Julian Edelman will have the honor of being in the Patriots Ring of Honor, and they'll fit him for one of those nice red jackets. But he's not getting fitted for a gold jacket no time soon.
Yeah. No, I'm in complete agreement. All right. This is the awkward moment on the show.
Don't make it awkward, Dave. Don't make it awkward. Don't make it awkward.
Well, I don't know. How am I supposed to deal with this?
Let me ask you this. Would you guys prefer the Irish goodbye?
No.
Or do you want me to actually say goodbye?
I'd like to say goodbye.
You'd like to say goodbye?
Yeah.
All right. Goodbye. I'm going to cheat on you guys with KJZ.
All right.
enjoy the rest of the show.
Just right out in the open. Just right out in the open. Doesn't even try to hide it.
No, go.
Just
enjoy
flaunts it right
candy.
In my face.
We'll talk
to
you
relationship
tomorrow.
Right now.
Very open. Very
Those
open
are
relationship.
Facts!
Very open relationship.
So one side where the one person thinks it's monogamous and the other one's just off doing whatever they want?
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I thought you said this was an open relationship. And I wasn't told that. And then he's posting sex tapes.
Wow. I love these guys. I love you guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. The separation going on with the wife and me.
Watch me in this thruple with Zubin and Key. Little Zubin sandwich.
A Zubin. poor Zubin.
Anybody for the scuba?
Zubin or Zubat? Coming up 7:30 this morning on KJZ. All right. Now we moved on from Chris, and are we ready for a little CMT, which they don't like somehow, but I think we love it, and we'll go with it right now.
Two cuddles.
Tell you what, Rico, I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Taking over for Rick after he gets on a roll is never easy, always awkward, but we're going to try to do it. So, Marcus Stroman.
Hi, RJ.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Marcus Stroman had a throwing session yesterday, guys, and everything's different. Everything is different from the secret weather people because the Mets were back to the doubleheader today. I don't know if you know. 7-inning doubleheader is back today. And the Mets obviously need another starting pitcher. There's two games, need two pitchers. So here's what they did. They're going to turn to Stroman in the nightcap. Taiwan Walker is going to start game one. David Peterson is going to shift to tomorrow's matchup against Zach Wheeler, speaking of X's. So Luis Rojas was asked, what changed with Marcus Stroman's schedule?
As I revealed to you guys in our earlier call, he was going Friday, and he wanted to stay in his routine. So he went out, he played catch, and he felt good. And once again, we want the guys to be out there being the best version of themselves. So for him to come and talk to us about that, about feeling good and going out there and pitching, you know, in a doubleheader scenario like we're having now, I think it's great to hear. So, you know, I'm glad he's stepping up for the team and doing this.
All right.
it's not getting better.
I wish he would avoid the media. Like if he could be in a role where he didn't have to talk to the media, I'd feel much more comfortable.
You mean, but we wouldn't get things like this.
First is a lot of screens, seeing different Dopplers.
I can't get over that yesterday.
And we talked to exclusive forecast expert.
All right, so.
But the best drop from yesterday, in my opinion, I have not yet met that. I don't know who that man is now.
Well, I don't know exactly who it is.
Exactly. He's one of four. It's like he's playing Clue. He's one of four people.
Does he have a mustache? Well, I'm going to eliminate those.
Has he ever been a colonel?
Oh, poor Luis Rojas. I'm just going to ask, cuddle, marry, or trash at the Mets have put behind all the weather-related issues that they've had the last couple of days.
I'll cuddle that. I think they're a good start from Stroman away tonight from putting that to rest.
Well, I don't know exactly who it is.
It's one of five.
I guess I'll cuddle it too. The whole idea that Stroman came out after the game was critical of the team and the decision, and then decides, you know, I'm going to be on my regular rest, and then plays catch, and all of a sudden he dictates what he wants to do. At some point, I mean, you're the coach. Like, you make the decisions.
This is true. All right. Steph Curry last night, boy, had himself a night.
He has two right there. And
look, he knows.
Steph Curry just got himself the record. He passed Wilt Chamberlain on the all-time Warriors scoring list.
That's right. Steph passes Wilt. Wilt held the record for a long time. 17,783 points. Steph went for 53 last night. So cuddle, marry, or trash. Steph Curry finishing his career with the Warriors.
Rick, you start this one out.
I think I'm going to marry it. I don't feel like Steph is going to go anywhere. Get Clay back. I mean, this is a team that's going to, I mean, they got a brand new building. I think he likes it out there. They're going to continue to try to win. I'm surprised that they're not better, even without Clay. I mean, they're two games under 500 right now, but I can't see I can't see him leaving.
It looks like Wiseman might be out for the season as well. I'm going to cuddle that. I think that he will, but I don't feel as confident as Rick does with the finishing the career there. Because if things get bad, and I don't know that they will, but if they start to take a turn for the worse and he's an older player who's still a great shooter, he might want to take another run at the ring. So I'll cuddle him finishing his career.
A lot of cuddles. All right.
Weak.
The Mavericks. You know what we might do? I've been toying around with this.
Yeah.
We play this game, sans cuddle, as a test.
Now you're just going to
only marry your trash.
Marry trash.
See, this is what I'm dealing with, though. You want to know who changes observations to observations? He's changing everything on the fly, this guy.
Listen.
Now it's just MT.
Yeah, I don't understand what happened. It was supposed to be you cuddle one, you marry one, you trash one. That's cuddle, marry, trash. All of a sudden you come in, and now it's got a completely different look.
That's right. That's what happened. That is what happened. So when we see some numbers, I'll either take blame or fault, and I'm open about that.
Okay.
Now we're getting rid of initials. Now it's just marry, trash.
That's right. Now it's just going to be MT. I mean, what the hell's going on? I mean, they do it on KJZ. They don't even like the segment anymore, the way that it's done. So I don't know what.
Listen, we're dealing with people at advanced age on this show. There's no more time for cuddle. You're either marry or trash. You move on. That's where we're at. Anyways.
That's a shot at me. I'm the oldest one on the show.
I didn't say any names. Listen, Ty called you 62 on Saturday. I didn't call you 62.
Ty also was taunting me about the Lakers going to beat the Knicks last night. So he
you're fun to toy with, though. It's enjoyable. Anyways, the Mavericks.
He feels the same way.
Oh my God. Where's Chris?
Oh, the Mavericks are currently in seventh place. I've said that three times now. So they would be in the play-in tournament out west if they can't move up in the standings. So Luka Doncic said this. You play 72 games to get in the playoffs, and then maybe you lose two in a row. You're out of the playoffs. I don't see the point of it. So the Knicks have, by all regards, had a wildly successful season based on what we thought they might do coming into the year. So cuddle, marry, or trash Luka's assessment of the play-in tournament.
Oh, well, here's the thing. I think it's different for different teams. If you're Dallas and you are 7 and you lose 2 games and you're done, you've had a disaster season. If you're the Knicks and you're the 7 and you lose 2 games and you're done, it's a far different feel. So it's a difficult question here, to be honest. I will trash what Luka Doncic had to say, because if you're the Knicks, it's different, and maybe if his take is solely on his team, that's one thing, but to put a big picture look on this, I disagree. I will trash what Doncic has to say.
Yeah, I trash it. I think it's ridiculous. I mean, if you finish seventh, you can't win one game to qualify for
a 10 seed.
Exactly right. To qualify for a playoff series. And listen, if you don't want to be in the play-in tournament, don't finish in the top 6. They've had an underwhelming, I mean, they got off to an awful start.
Terrible. They've had an underwhelming season, though. They should be better than they are.
True. All right, you guys, you touched on this earlier, and it caught my attention. Sam Darnold, if you missed it, said this about Jets fans.
Jets fans are one of a kind, but I'll be forever grateful for those fans because, you know, they taught me so much about myself. Very thankful for the people around the organization and the people around Florham Park, Morristown area, and obviously New York City.
Cuddle, marry, or trash Darnold calling Jets fans one of a kind as a positive.
I'll trash it. I don't think it was meant to be positive. I think him pointing to Jets fans as being tough. And I mean, listen, New York fans are tough. I think what he's insinuating is he's learned that he can deal with that kind of pressure. So moving forward, he's in a better spot because he's going to Carolina.
I don't know how long I'm going to have the cuddle option, so I'm going to take it right now because it could be ripped from me by next week. So I will cuddle it. I don't think it's meant as a negative. I think everybody's going to calm down. I think he likes the Jets fans.
All right, and one more for you.
Where'd the music go?
Why would he say one of a kind if it was supposed to be a positive?
There we go. I don't know. I missed the music.
He also thanked Morristown, which is strong.
Yes, I'd like to thank all the people.
I think he meant Morris's from Morris, you know, Morris's town.
It was a 15-second soundbite. It started out thanking Jets fans, ended on Morristown. I think that tells
you
something.
Florham Park, Morristown, East Brunswick.
Lovely
area. I'm surprised he didn't go through every city and town in New Jersey.
Lovely area.
Yeah, Fairlawn. Thank you to them.
All right, last one. Dave, you assembled a team of youth baseball players
last
night, so I'm going to ask you, cuddle, marry, or trash your draft of young baseball prospects?
I'm like Branch Rickey. What I did last night in assembling this youth squad is second to none. So I have a co-manager, and he really wanted us to take a kid. The father said, can you please take my kid on the team, and it would really help me out. And the kid is good. And I said, here's the thing. We have the first overall pick. I can't do that. I'm not willing to sacrifice. I think there's a chance that when we snake back around, that kid will be there. Well, we took the best player available. That kid was taken third, and my co-coach is now furious that we didn't take that kid. So that's for starters. Then I receive a text from the league commissioner. Let me see if I can find it quickly. Here it is. He says, if you guys lose a single game this year, I will be absolutely shocked. So, you know, take it for what you will. I don't even know what the question is, but I did a great job. I will marry myself. I'll marry myself!
I'm trashing it. I can't imagine these poor kids be coached by Dave. It's almost like if you'd like your kid to have the same experience as Sam Darnold, have him drafted by Dave Rothenberg's team.
You're out of your mind. You are. I mean,
just destroying these poor kids.
I put kids in position to win is what I do.
I don't even know how that's. You can't even throw a baseball, really.
I could throw a baseball, fine. You were wowed, but you're confusing you're me like with Santiago. You were wowed by me during that softball game.
You're like the Ken
three for three.
You're like the Ken Hitchcock of Little League baseball.
What does he win?
But he can't even skate.
That's fine. That's fine. I can't skate either. But I can put them in position to win games, and that right there is the beauty of me. And I'm nice.
There's a lot of pressure, though. That's a lot of pressure. I mean, apparently, I mean, for the league manager to email you that you guys should
commissioner
lose the game.
Of the Little League.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and here's the thing also. Some of these kids, they don't have great attendance issues, right? Some of them, they have other sports. So rec league baseball is not their number one priority. I have to get that out of them quickly.
You have to put your foot down.
That's right. Practice one today.
We got practice today?
Today.
What's on the agenda?
I don't know. I don't know what we'll do. We'll probably get them running. See
what if it? Have you checked the forecast? Are you going to have any...
No, I don't think we'll have any delays. I don't think weather issues are going to be a problem at all. I'll look at the Doppler in the room and see what our weather expert
and
has
we
to
talk
say.
To exclusive forecast expert.
Yeah, we'll talk to him as well, but we're not sure exactly who he is. So I'm not familiar with that name.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.